Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
When Bruce asked me to preach today, one of the things that he said was, he was like, it's not really your style because I have a specific passage I want you to preach. And I was like, oh, we're good. That'll be fine. So, but I did take it a little bit beyond. Originally, it was John 5, 1 through 15. We're going to go through 19, okay? And I'm going to start off with verse 19. That's what we're going to kick off with. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. We're going to play a quick video. And we've got this video that we're going to play real quick. Before we start it, though, I want to let you guys know, first of all, this is not about me. The guy Hans in the video, he says my name a few times because I was the one who interacted with him. But this video is about Jesus. And this, what he's going to be sharing, literally took place right downstairs here at the old Morrison campus. So you walk out, or you look out right there where the basketball court is. Right there is where this story took place that Hans is going to be sharing. So let's watch this real quick.
Hi, 各位弟兄姐妹，大家好。我是国大尼有个学校毕信潘。我认识格莱，是我们学校的家长。我有一次在我的脚常常会有痛风的情形。那在一次偶然的机会，格莱他要我认识主耶稣，他说，主耶稣可以帮助我。而我有点不太相信，但是因为格雷是我们相信的家长，是非常好的人，所以我就相信他，然后请他求主耶稣帮我医治。那天的情形大概是我的脚已经一整个月都没办法走路，那药也都吃了也没有用，所以格雷看我的状况很痛苦，他就走过来跟我说 ，Hans， 我可以帮助你。那我有一点半信半疑，所以我们坐下来，也没做什么仪式，也没做什么。他就坐下来就敷着我的脚，因为我有读一些圣经，我知道那种的感觉很像是，有人在为我洗脚的那种感觉。那瞬间就感觉身体非常的温暖，那脚也非常的舒服。那我记得格雷，我忘记他做了什么话，但是我的印象中是，赞美主耶稣，然后求这个疼痛离开我的身体。那我就是心里也是这样一直在感谢赞美主。那格雷就说我什么都不用做，我只要持续的这样感谢赞美主，求这个疼痛离开我，相信这个就会有好转，甚至他就会好了。然后当下呢，我格雷告诉我说现在怎么样，其实没有怎么样，但是就是很温暖，然后很他的手碰到我的脚的时候是温暖是热的。那我没有特别的，我以前没有接触过这样的治疗，所以我也不太相信，所以我就他格雷问我的时候，我就说好多了好多了。一直到一个礼拜以后，有一天我觉得这真的不痛了。但这中间格雷有叫我要每天赞美主耶稣，然后求他医治我的脚，让疼痛离开。那我也是这样做了，但是当然心里还是有一点点，不是因为药都吃不好的，已经这么久了，一整个月了，所以一个礼拜之后他真的不痛了。但是我觉得他会再回来，因为我这个疼痛常常会再回来，一个月两个月三个月不一定，反正吃东西吃多了，尤其是冬天，它的酸血酸尿酸它高了，它就回来了。那经过这一次之后，这中间一个月两个月，格雷都会问候我，之后他也不问候我了。直到过了一年两三个月之后，有一天我碰到格雷，我说：“嘿，格雷，我告诉你一个 amazing 的事情。 他说什么事？他就说，我就说我的脚没有痛了。他说，哦，感谢赞美主，这是一定的。我靠，我想说他怎么这么坚定的相信主耶稣是一定能治疗我？但事实上是这一整年我都没有再疼痛过，也没有，一直到现在到这个 video 录这个 video 的时候还是一样。这已经是一年半了吧？我相信都是就是这样子。所以我只是想跟弟兄姐妹做个见证，这件事确实发生在我身上，只要你们相信也会发生在你们身上。哈利路亚，感谢赞美主，谢谢。
Whenever I saw him walking that day, he was like, I mean, he was literally walking like this. Now he was the school like manager. He was like the guy who had to fix everything. So he's all over the school, and that's an old building. It's this building, you know, shared. It's an old building. Everybody knows that that's been here. He's just walking like this. And I was like, my goodness, what is going on with Hans? And so I asked him, and one of the things that he had told me was that had been going on for years that had been going on. And I actually messaged him, and this video was taken about 3.5 years ago, 3.5, 4 years ago. And I messaged him just a few months ago to just check in with him again, because I haven't seen him in a long time. He doesn't work at Morris anymore now that it's moved out to Linco. But I messaged him to check in with him, and he was like, hey, it's still gone. Like, praise Jesus, it's still gone. There's still no more pain. Like, it's amazing. And I wanted Hans to share that story because, you know, there's nothing special about these hands. There's nothing special about me as a person. I'm from small town Arkansas. There's nothing special. There's no magic formula. There's nothing that took place beyond just me being a vessel for what I saw God wanted to do in Hans's life on that day. Okay. So we're going to read real quick from John chapter 5, verses 1 to 18. I don't know if it's up there or not. It doesn't matter. I'll just read it for us. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Pause real quick. Is there anybody in here that's not yet reached 38 years of age? Raise your hand. Okay. So this dude, more than likely, he's in his 40s or 50s. He had been an invalid for longer than you've been on the planet. And it probably feels like you've been on the planet for quite a while, right? This dude has been like this for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for your goodness, for your grace, for your presence. I thank you that you are here with us today. I thank you that we don't have to beg you to come. We don't have to prepare a table for you. You've prepared a table for us. We don't have to prepare different things and beg you to come and plead you to come, but that you are here in our midst because we have gathered together in your name. And your word says that you have taken up residence within us, that we are your home, that we are your temple when we've given our lives to you. And so I thank you that you're here with us. I pray, Father, that you would speak clearly to me, through me, and to everyone in here. We thank you for your love and love you too. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the setting, the story that I just read, the setting, it takes place in Jerusalem. Jesus had just returned back to Jerusalem. It takes place at the Sheep Gate. Now, the Sheep Gate is a pretty awesome location. Just reading through the chapter, it's like, okay, this, you know, the Sheep Gate, it's like Baymun, Shimon, you know, these different areas. Like, what's the big deal about the Sheep Gate? Well, if you look back at the Sheep Gate, looking back in with Nehemiah, in the Old Testament, Nehemiah was one who, he was part of the exile. He was away. He had been exiled from Jerusalem. He had grown up in the exile, but he had heard about how Jerusalem had been destroyed. And he went to the king at the time, Artaxerxes, and he told him, he was actually the king's cupbearer, and he told him, hey, here's what's going on in my home country, and that's why I'm so sad. That's why I am like I am. If you would let me go back and help fix up my hometown, the place of my ancestors, that'd be amazing. And Artaxerxes gives him permission and he goes back. And the first place that Nehemiah and the people, the remnant, the people that went with him and the remnant that were still in Jerusalem, the first place that they fix up is the Sheep Gate. Now the Sheep Gate, if you look at Nehemiah 3:1, when they were rebuilding those walls of Jerusalem, that was the only gate that was consecrated as holy. There were a lot of other gates around Jerusalem, but the Sheep Gate's the only one that was consecrated as holy whenever they rebuilt it. And what's significant about that is that this is also the gate where the sacrifices were brought in to take up to the temple. And these pools where these invalids, where these sick, lame, paralyzed were lying, these pools were where these animals that were coming in to be sacrificed were cleaned and were made clean before, so that they could be presentable before God in the temple. And what's significant and amazing about this is that it wasn't long before where John the Baptist, the baptizer, Jesus's cousin, where John had declared Jesus, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And now the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he's walking through the Sheep Gate and he's coming in on this multitude, the word says. It's a multitude of invalids laying there. He comes through the Sheep Gate, and there's this multitude of people who are there just waiting to be healed, hoping that their time has come. They have no clue that the Lamb, that God's Lamb, is walking through that afternoon, that day, and he's the one who will make all things right, amen? They have no clue when they wake up that morning and when they're laying there in that area with people that are just like them. They have no clue that the one who spoke creation into being, and the one who would take away the sin, the sickness, the disease, everything of the whole world was walking in that morning. And I just think it's an amazing setting for what's about to take place. Now, I am going to mention briefly, if you've looked, depending on what translation you have, and if you're reading along, some of the translations, there's not a verse 4, okay? Some of the translations, verse 4 is not there. I'll tell you what verse 4 says real quick. Verse 4 says, "For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first after the stirring up of the water stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted." Now I'm going to pause real quick and I'll explain what's going on here in my opinion and through my studies, okay? Now, a lot of these translations that use this passage, they're using later copies of scripture that they found. But as more copies of the New Testament of the Bible have been found, and they found even older versions, what they found is the oldest versions don't actually include this verse. And so there's a lot of different beliefs as to why this takes place. What I personally believe is that scribes who later were writing it to make sense of what the man says about I've got nobody to put me in the water, I think they inserted this here because there was this superstition or there was this tradition or there was this belief that this thing happened and that an angel, whether it's from the Lord or from, you know, somewhere else, that some heavenly being would come down and stir up the water, and whoever made it in first, they hit the jackpot, they won the lottery, they were able to step out free. Sucks for the rest of you. You know, like, and so what I personally believe is that later on people inserted this to explain, here's what the mindset was. Okay. Regardless, the earliest manuscripts do not have this verse, and that's why I didn't read it initially, but I do want to identify it as, because it is in some translations, it's not in others. Whether or not that happened, to me, doesn't really matter. To me, the most important thing about it was that there was some sort of superstition that people believed that healing could take place there. People believed that if they went there, that I've got a shot. Something might could happen. And also, whenever they were going there, all these other people are just like me and just as screwed up as I am as well, so I'll at least feel better about myself, you know? And so that, to me, that's the focal point of what's going on here. But it was at this tradition, or at this location with rich history, with rich tradition, superstition, that God's Lamb showed up and saw this man in the midst of everybody else. He saw this man. And just like I read about at the beginning, verse 19, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees his Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. If we're honest with ourselves, whether we're in Jesus and already believe in Jesus or not, I've got a lot of friends here in Taiwan that don't yet believe in Jesus. They believe in a lot of other gods. They might believe in themselves, that kind of deal. To quote Michael Scott, if we're not necessarily superstitious, we might be a little stitious, you know? Like, we might not be all in with this area and this with this belief or that kind of deal, but we might be like, well, you know, it won't hurt. I was wearing this pair of shoes the last time this good thing happened to me, so I'll just keep wearing this pair of shoes, you know? We might have that mindset where we're a little stitious. And, you know, we might think that if we wear a certain bracelet, or we say a certain prayer, or we wear a certain t-shirt, or we burn paper money on these days, or we set out these tables and burn incense and that kind of deal on these days, we might feel like we'll get whatever it is that it is we want and that we're asking for from whatever God it is, whatever spirit it is, whatever ancestor it is, or the God, even the creator God, Jesus. We might believe that if we do things just the right way, we'll get what it is that we want and that our circumstances will change. And then I also know a lot of people who just shotgun it everywhere. They're like, all right, I'll try this God, and whoever responds first, that's who I'm going with for the time being. And then when I hit the next thing, all right, he didn't do it for me this time, so now we're going to try all these other. Now we're going to spread it out again and see what comes back and what happens. But what's crazy to me is that this guy had been there for 38 years. He had been in this condition, paralyzed for 38 years. I don't know what everybody else's situation was there at the sheep gate and at the pool of Bethesda, but I have a hard time believing that there was a worse situation than his. There could have been. There absolutely could have been, because there was a multitude of people around there. But I have a hard time, you know, contemplating a worse situation than 38 years of paralysis and laying in the same place every day. Can you imagine the smell? Can you imagine just the intense sadness and loneliness and depression and despair in this place? I mean, just think about it for a second. A multitude, hundreds, maybe thousands of people that are sick, paralyzed, lame, invalids, just there every single day. Just waiting. I'm going to share a quick story. I'm only going to do one. Can we put up the picture of me and the old lady? There we go. All right, so this took place. You can tell I had a little bit more hair then, so it was a few years ago. But this took place over in Longshan Temple. Everybody knows where Longshan Temple is, or at least heard of it. Longshan Temple is one of the most famous temples here in Taiwan, especially here in Taipei. And we had had a group, two guys from the States come out, and it was their first day here. And when people first come out to Taiwan and they want to learn what's going on, like we have this, we sit down and we share, we have this, you know, we prepare for everybody, like here's what thing, orientation. We have this orientation for people. And we share with them, here's what's going on, and here's kind of the focus of Taiwan beliefs, religion, the spiritual climate, that kind of deal. And so we usually will take them to Longshan Temple, and I'll just give them a quick tour, like, hey, here's what's going on here. But one of the things that I also prep people with is that we don't have the mindset of, okay, we're going to go do ministry, and then we're not doing ministry. And this is one of the things, I don't have this in my notes, but I'm going to divert a little bit real quick. One of the things that I want to encourage you guys and gals with is that to not have the mindset and the focus of like, okay, now we're going to go do ministry. But if we're in Jesus, right? If Jesus is our life, then we are sons and daughters of the King. Amen? Like that is our identity. That's who we are. So no matter whether we're going to buy groceries, or no matter whether we're just riding on the MRT trying to get somewhere, if we're going to grab a cup of coffee, if we're on our way to work, if we're at work, no matter where we are, if Jesus shows up and there's an opportunity to carry the kingdom into a place that needs it, I'm not going to do ministry. I am ministry. I carry the kingdom with me everywhere I go. And you all carry the kingdom with you everywhere you go. Amen? When we're in Jesus, it's not we're on and we're off. You're either a child or you aren't. You're either an ambassador or you aren't. There is no vacation. And it's not to stress you out. Oh, I'm already going to be on. Who do I pray for? Da, 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 da. No, it's not like that at all. It's not a stressful situation. Live your life in constant communication with the Father. Talking to him, listening to him. Prayer's not just in the corner, you know, head down in the closet. It's not just that. We have to live our lives. And as we live our lives, we learn how to pray continually and talk with him and listen to him. Man, so many of us think that prayer is just me talking, me verbally vomiting into the air, you know, and we don't ever take the time to actually listen. Man, if we would just, during our prayer times in the morning and the evenings, if we would just sit down and just calm ourselves and just listen. Man, there's so much he wants to tell us. There's so much he wants to tell us. All right, back over here. Thanks for letting me take that little diversion. So this lady, sorry, I forgot where we were. This lady, we're at Longshan Temple. I'm explaining to the guys, here's what's going on here. Here's what's going on here. They're dropping the little crescent rocks. Here's what they're doing if it lands like this. Da, da, da. And there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people in Longshan Temple at any time. Pre-COVID, there's always people coming in just constantly. Sometimes thousands of people in there at the same time. But I talked to the guys before. I was like, wherever we go, we're not going here to do ministry. I'm going here to show you this. But anywhere we go, we're always on and always listening. And so, sure enough, we walk towards the back, and I see this lady standing in the very back, hundreds of people in front of her. And as soon as I lay my eyes on her, just clear as day, I knew the Lord said, she's here because her back's killing her. And I was like, got it. I can do one of two things. I can go, oh, that's too bad for her. And I can keep on about my day, or I can engage with what God's given me, right? And so what took place that day is I just said to these guys who don't speak a lick of Chinese, I said, hey, I'm gonna go talk to this lady real quick. Y'all just hang out. And they were like, okay, cool. So they kind of followed me over there. And I walk up to her And I said, hey, to her, and I start talking, and she's like, oh, you speak Chinese. Your Chinese is so good. And I'm like, thank you. Where'd you learn? I learned in Taichung. We have this like 5 minutes of pleasantries, just getting to know each other and stuff. And then finally, after a few minutes of us getting to know each other, I said, and this lady's 82 years old, by the way. She don't look like it. She ages well, right? She was 82 years old. And I said to her, hey, I got a question for you. She said, yeah. And she wasn't like hunched over, nothing like that. I said, hey, I got a question for you. And she's like, okay. I said, are you here today at the temple because your back's really bothering you? And she's like, yeah. Yeah, I am. And I was like, huh, it's been that way for a while, right? And I didn't know how long, but I knew it had been a long time. She was like, yeah. And I was like, scale of 1 to 10, what's the pain level? She's like, it's like a 9 all the time. I said, how long have you been coming here? She said, it's been this way for 21 years. 21 years. She said, I've come here almost every day for 21 years because of my back and wanting to get healed. 21 years. And I was like, my goodness. She said, how do you know that? And I said, well, have you heard of Jesus? She said, yeah, he's a Christian God, right? Like, amen. I was like, yeah, kind of. I said, so you've heard of him? She was like, yeah, I've heard of him. And I said, well, I'm friends with him. And when I walked in here, as soon as I saw you in the middle of everybody here, everybody came here for something. But as soon as I saw you, he told me why you were here. And I believe that he wants to heal you. Are you okay if I pray for you? Standing in Longshan Temple. I'm not standing up on the steps with my Bible waving in the air, you know, going to town in the middle of this Buddhist temple. It's just me and this lady in the back of it. I said, in the midst of everybody here, the Lord sees you. And he used a guy from small town USA who has no business knowing anything about you other than I'm friends with the God who created you. And he told me your situation, and I believe he wants to heal you. And are you okay if I pray for you? And she was like, okay. Yeah, that'd be great. I said, are you okay if I just put my hand right here on your back? Where's it hurting? She told me. So I put my hand back there. And I start praying. After about 20 seconds, she goes, what'd you just do? And I said, what do you mean? She's like, what'd you just do to me? I don't know. I was just praying. I just put my hand there. And she was like, the pain's gone. And I said, what? I hadn't even prayed like, Lord, take away her pain, anything. I was just doing the intro, you know? Like, that was it. And as we're saying this, she's like, the pain's gone. And I was like, that's awesome. And she was like, yeah. I said, like it's better or like gone? She was like, gone. This is amazing. And I was like, 21 years. And she was like, yeah. And I said, she said, how'd you do that? And I said, I didn't do anything other than I was the vessel. I was the one who told you, the God who created you, the one who died for you and rose again to give you life. He sees you and he wants you to know him. And it was incredible being able to experience that with that woman that day. 21 years she'd been like that. That took place 2 MRT stops, not far from here. That took place right here in Taiwan. The testimony that you just heard from Hans, that took place a 30-second, maybe 45-second walk from here, right downstairs. That took place right here in Taiwan. It wasn't anything special. It wasn't anything planned. There wasn't an itinerary. We're going to go and we're going to pray for somebody at the temple today. I'm going to go and I'm going to pray for somebody at my girls' school today. I was just going to pick the girls up. That was it. But if we'd have our eyes open to what is it that the Father's saying? What is it that he wants us to be about? What is it that he's doing? The man, we could see his kingdom invade this earth like we've never seen before. Amen? So Jesus, he walks up to this guy. I imagine he's got to step over quite a few people. He's got to shimmy around. He gets to this guy, this one man, and he looks at him and he says, Do you want to be healed? Now, when I read that, it makes me laugh. It'd be like, if I'm like somebody just finished running a marathon, you want some water? You know, and I'm not making fun of Jesus. It's just a silly question, right? Or it can be perceived as a silly question. I've got a picture here, I think, of me running the Spartan race, which Bertina has gone through that pain with me before. Yeah. If you asked me right then, after I'd already gone, this was the beast, so this was a half marathon. If you had asked me at that point, after I'd already gone like 18 kilometers, you want some water? Yeah, I want water. I'm about to pass out. I want water. Yeah. Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? But I think it's an important question. What is it that we really want? What is it that we really want? Do we just want to feel better, or do we want to be healed? Do we just want our circumstances to change, or do we want to be different? Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be well? He didn't ask him, do you want to feel better? Do you want to be fixed? Do you want to be made whole? That was the question. You know, a lot of times we come to church to feel better about ourselves, or we meet with different people so that we can feel better about our situation. But a lot of times, like when we're just doing things, it's just going through the motions. It's just like we're putting Band-Aids on the situation. It's just like we're putting some cream on the situation, and we're not getting down to the actual root of what the problem is. When Jesus stepped into him, he wasn't like, hey, do you want to feel better? You know, patting his head or anything. He said, do you want to be healed? He was asking the guy, what do you want? It reminds me of that scene from The Notebook, you know, where if you've seen that movie where Ryan, what's his name? Anyways, he's asking, they're talking to each other, and the woman's crying, and he's like, what do you want? And she's like, I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? It's like that same situation. Jesus is like, what is it that you really want? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? And a lot of times, if we're honest, we're more interested in God changing our circumstances than we are in him changing us. Because a lot of times, I'd say the majority of the time, what needs to change is us, is our mindset, is our perspective. And it's not always about physical healing. Sometimes it's about mental or emotional stuff. Sometimes it's something as simple as selfishness or being focused on the wrong things that we need healing from. Ultimately, we really need healing from ourselves, right? Whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, psychological, whatever it is, a lot of times we need healing from ourselves. So Jesus is asking the guy, not do you want me to change your circumstances, but do you want me to change you? Do you want to be healed? And then this guy's response is, he says, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. While I'm going down, another steps before me. How many of us, when somebody wants to bless us, when somebody asks to do something for us, do we immediately, rather than respond with, yes, that'd be amazing, do we respond with, well, I can't because this and this and this and this. And we like explain away the blessing, right? Or we explain away the situation that we're in and our circumstance because we don't feel like we deserve it for whatever reason, because we know who we are. I don't feel like I deserve this, but somebody's coming because they want to give us something. They want to bless us with something. They want to be a blessing and they want to give, but we explain it away and we rationalize, well, here's why I can't. That wasn't Jesus' question. This guy, he's like, and he's also looking at other people. Sir, I've got no one. I've got no one to put me into the water. Somebody else comes in front of me. Somebody gets what I'm trying to get. He puts it all on everybody else. And this is in a little bit contrast. Jesus' response is in contrast to what Bruce talked about last week. We were talking about the woman at the well. Jesus comes up and he's like, he's having this conversation. And he kind of alley-oops like who he is. And then he comes and dunks on her, like in a good way. He comes and he's like, this is who I am and this is who's talking to you. This woman, she's going there for water and she's got ability to get water. But Jesus's response is basically like, you come here to get water. You've got a bucket. I've got a spring. I am the spring. right? Jesus is coming there with this woman. She's going, got to go every single day. And Jesus is like, man, if you knew that the spring was here, you'd ask me to get the spring in you. But we look at today, Jesus doesn't tell the guy who he is. This guy's got no clue who Jesus is. This guy's like, I can't get to the water. So what happened? The water came to him. Jesus, the spring of life, came to this guy, right where he was in his condition. And he's like, I've got the life. And what Jesus' response is not, hey, you're talking too much. I didn't ask you this. Jesus just tells him, get up, take up your bed and walk. And then Jesus kind of just disappears. And this guy gets up and he takes up his bed and he walks. And it's amazing. And he walks and I can imagine he's like, where's Jesus? Don't know. Don't even know the guy's name. I guess I go to the temple now. So he heads over to the temple. And what I want to pause real quick and say this is that Jesus didn't do this inside the temple. And here's something that I want us to really understand and get behind. A lot of times we think we got to get people to church, get people to church, get people to church, get people to church. Jesus did very few things with inside the tabernacle, inside the synagogue, inside the temple, inside. He went out to where the people were. He was out where they were carrying the kingdom to them. Amen? And we got to get past this mentality of it's Bruce, it's Bertina, it's Clay, it's these professionals. You're a kingdom carrier if you've got Jesus inside you. And everywhere you go, he's given you. Everywhere you go, he's given it to you. And so we've got to have that mindset of like, everywhere I go, I'm not trying to get him to the pastor. I'm getting this person to Jesus. I'm carrying the water to him so that the water can start springing up from within him, right? Or her, okay? So this also reminds me, 2 weeks ago, Bruce talked about Jesus' very first miracle and the woman at the wedding feast. And when they're at the wedding feast, one of my favorite all-time passages of scripture is from Mary. And what Mary said, does anybody remember what Mary said to the servants who were there? You can say it out loud. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Oh, my goodness. That's meaty right there. I'm not going to preach on it because I don't have the time, but boy, I could. That right there. 5 words. Do whatever he tells you are so powerful. Some of the most powerful words that you'll ever hear in your life. Do whatever he tells you. The best instruction manual of all time. One sentence. Do whatever he tells you. And that guy didn't even know who he was, but he did what Jesus told him to do. He got up, he picked up his bed, and he walked. Now I'm going to skip ahead a few verses real quick. He finds out that it's Jesus, that Jesus is the one. Jesus finds him in the temple and he's like, hey, see, you're well. You're well. Go, sin no more. Don't want anything worse to happen to you. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't believe for a second that God gave this guy that paralysis and that had him there for 38 years. I don't believe that. But I do believe that it's possible that whatever his lifestyle was prior to that, that it led to him being paralyzed. And the same way for us, in Jesus, not in Jesus, whatever, if we're living willfully in sin, if we're willfully doing drugs, things are going to be bad for us. If we're willingly living as an alcoholic and getting drunk every night and our kidneys are going to get shredded to bits, right? Like if we're sleeping around, we're probably going to get an STD or something, right? Like if we're willfully living in sin, then bad things are going to happen to us because, hey, we're in the world and things happen, right? So Jesus' response is, it's not possible for the dude to not sin at all ever, right? There's only one person who did that, Jesus. But Jesus' response, I believe, was don't go and continue to willfully live in sin. I don't want anything else to happen to you, anything worse to happen to you. And the guy finds out it's Jesus. He goes back. And here's the last thing that I want to focus on is the Pharisees. So the Pharisees, they're there. They see this guy carrying his things and they've got They're the religious mindset. They're the religious people. They've got all these rules. Here's what you can and can't do. And carrying something on the Sabbath was against their rules. So they see the guy and he's like, hey, they're like, hey, what are you doing, dude? You can't do that. You can't carry your bed. And he is like, well, the dude that healed me, he told me to get up and pick up my bed and walk. And their response, listen to this. Their response is not, somebody healed you? Who healed you? This is amazing. The religious leaders, their response was, who told you to carry your bed? Who told you to carry your bed? They couldn't see the miracle. They could only see you're breaking the rules. You're breaking our rules. That was all they could see. God in the flesh was there. Healing, a legitimate healing had taken place to a man who had been there for 38 years, who they had probably never seen because they had probably never honestly entered that place to be in amongst all the filth and the and what was going on. All they could see was not the miracle, was not the kingdom breaking through. All they could see was you broke the rules. And religion's a slippery slope, guys. And what I want to encourage you with, I'm running out of time, but what I want to encourage you with, it's a well-trodden path. It's easy to get on a path of, here's what I can do, here's what I can't do. Here's what I should do, here's what I shouldn't do. Don't miss the forest for the trees, guys. Don't miss the forest for the trees. Don't get so focused on the rules and what we're supposed to do and our traditions and that kind of deal that we miss the presence. That we miss the presence, that we miss the creator of everything who came to give us life, to set us free. You know, just this summer, I was actually, Roz was with me. This is Roz, my friend Roz. Hey, Roz. I was with Roz this summer and we traveled around different places in Taiwan and we were praying for people and seeing people like legitimately healed. And I was sharing Jesus with people afterwards. I shared the gospel in Chinese like, I don't know, 400 times over 3 days. It was amazing. It was awesome. I was exhausted. My tongue was exhausted because I'm just like in China, but it was amazing. Prayed for people, saw people physically healed on the spot. Some of it was posted online, that kind of deal. And there were some people that I knew that I'd gone to school with who had become pastors and who were leading churches in different areas. And when they saw this, the response was, man, that's fake. What are these people doing? That's not really happening. That's a trick. Da, 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 da. And we're getting all kinds of fired up and trying to get other people to pour gasoline on the fire, you know, and get this. And when they asked me about it, you know, I was like, you know, I just can't stop speaking about what I've seen and heard, you know? I saw God break into that person's life and I want to celebrate it. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus setting people free. And Jesus can use you in whatever situation you're in, wherever you are, if you've given your life to Jesus, if you're in Jesus, Jesus can use you in your workplace, in your home, in your community, in your school, out on the street, on the MRT ride, he can use you right where you are. Amen? He can use you right where you are to carry his kingdom, to take the water to those people who need it. So the last thing that I want to do is to just ask you, what is your need? Where do you need breakthrough? Is it a physical issue? Is it an emotional issue? Is it a financial issue? What is it that you need? And I ask that question, the same question that Jesus asked. I think he's asking us today. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be well? And are you willing to do whatever it is he tells you so that you can be changed? And when you are changed, the atmosphere around you, the circumstances around you change as a byproduct of the change that takes place in you. And then secondly, what I want to encourage us all, we might all, actually, I'm confident of it. We all have an area where we need breakthrough in our lives. All of us. Could be a mindset. Could be physical. Could be any of those things that I mentioned. I want us to learn from this guy, this invalid who had been there for 38 years. But beyond that, I want to take it a step further. He's not our focus. He's not our goal, right? It's not to be like that guy. It's to be like Jesus. That's who we've been called to be like, right? So the second question is, if you're in Jesus, who is it that he's calling you to carry the water to? Who is it that he's calling you? What's the situation? What's the circumstance where he wants you to carry the kingdom, where he wants you to carry the kingdom to bring change to that person's life, to let that person know that the price has been paid and they've been set free if they would give their life to Jesus? Because the goal is to be like Jesus. We're following in his footsteps, right? And then lastly, what I want to ask is if there's somebody here, if there's anybody here who doesn't yet know Jesus, but you're interested, there's a lot of people here. You want to know more. You've heard about this guy who created everything and he came and you've seen these testimonies about this 82-year-old woman at the temple, about Hans, the facilities manager, where God stepped in and he set them free. There's tons of people, maybe the person that brought you here this morning, or maybe somebody that you've seen and that you've known for a long time. There's a lot of people here who already know Jesus who would be ecstatic, so happy to share with you about that life and that love and that fulfillment and that healing that comes through knowing him. I'm going to pray for us. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for your love, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your grace, for your mercy, for your presence. Thank you. I thank you that even though you are huge and created everything, that you care about everything. You care about every aspect of our lives. You know the number of hairs on our heads. You know when we wake up, when we go to sleep, you know, and you still love us. You know us better than we know ourselves, and you still love us. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for your Lamb, the perfect Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world. I thank you that he's the one that comes that gives life and gives it more abundantly. I thank you that he's the one that cleans us up. We can't clean up ourselves, but that he's the one that does it. And so, Father, for whatever is going on in my life, whatever is going on in the lives of everyone else in here, I pray that you would help us to see what it is that we really desire and where it is that we really need healing, and that we would respond in obedience to whatever it is that you say. Pray that our focus would be on you. Thank you so much for your love. We love you too. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.